Blog Talk Radio.
It's another beautiful day on Brown Sugar Radio. Get ready to ignite a passion and purpose of overflow. Cherish the value of being you and nurture your soul. Handle your business like a boss and take full control. I invite you to engage upon a journey of greatness and use the gifts within that God has made. This is the time to win and not to lose. So sit back, relax, and take off the blues. Get ready for another exciting segment here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's Brown Sugar Radio.
Oh, yes, we're back at it again. Yes, we are. Get ready to ignite a passion full of overflow with today. We have a very special guest I'm truly honored to have, Minister Trenisha Marks, live on Brown Sugar Radio. But not only is she a minister and a woman of God, she's an author and life coach and just doing her thing as far as just in the ministry of God. I want to present to some and introduce to others, Minister Trenisha Marks, welcome to Brown Sugar Radio. How are you today?
I am blessed. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited. You know, we've been planning this show for a while, and you know how it is as busy women, always getting the job done, but God made it happen today, and I'm just truly, truly blessed to have you in my presence because God is really doing some amazing things in your life and using you to a level that is just the way God does. He takes it always to the next level. And your new book, Tears in the Chambers of Heaven. First of all, that title, it gives me chills just saying the title, okay? And we only have 30 minutes today, so Brown Sugar Radio Lord listeners, I'm going to open up the chat. Any questions you have, you can direct them to the chat. Also, too, you can plug in live on Facebook or Twitter and listen to the show. And then towards the end, if we have any time, I'll open the phone lines up, okay? But I want to get as much as I can and absorb the woman of God today. You know, so I want to start as far as your journey in the ministry. Tell my listeners, when did you know you were called by God to do such a great work?
I actually was saved very young. I was like 4 years old. I know that sounds crazy, but I was four years old when I was saved, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost the same night. And I think that's why my passion is for young kids. The reason why is because everyone discredited my relationship with God because I was so young. I started preaching at 12. I was doing Bible studies with the youth group and different things like that. And it's been a running since then.
Look at God. Okay, at 4 years old, now I believe that. I do.
Yeah,
I
saved at four.
Okay. And you know what's funny? You're right, because then people will try to discredit and say, well, you're not truly accountable till the age of 12, so how can you do this? But I don't believe that. I believe that God will use every living vessel that he can. And the thing is, you know, the Word of God says, if we don't praise him, the rocks going to cry out and praise him. So come on now. If he can use the rocks and the trees, he can use a four-year-old, you know?
Absolutely. And it wasn't in a church service. It wasn't with the pastor. I was in the middle of my grandmother's. I was in the middle of my grandmother's living room, and I was happening to mess with little rabbit ears on the TV. You know, back in the day, you couldn't really see it unless somebody was holding it right. I was sitting there holding it for her in order for her to see the program on the I don't know what network it was, but it wasn't like it was a big old thing. But the man that was on the TV, when he started talking, it was like he started talking to me. He started talking. There was something in this man's eyes that just made me just, and I can still see it to this day. Like when I tell you, it was a surreal moment. It was a surreal moment. You know, it was just like he said, and everything I thought in my mind, this man addressed, and that's when I knew God was real. I was sitting there, and I was like, I don't know if he's talking to me. He said, yes, you, I'm talking to you. You're very young. He said, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight is what he said. And he said, just come over to the TV and lay hands. That's why I don't talk about the TV ministries, because I don't know what God is doing. And I know God will use anything.
Yes, he will. You're right about that, okay? So at this young age of 4 years old, God blessed you with a gift. And I've, you know, seen you prophesize and speak into the lives of others and, you know, even my own personal girlfriends. And I just want to say that the work that you're doing is just beautiful, you know, to have such a gift and to know that you can see in the supernatural. And I want to talk a little bit about that, you know, as a woman of God, and just how important is it for us, you know, to have that connection with God. When you get to that level, you know, in Christ, and you know God is using you.
It's very important, yes.
Come on.
It's very important. It's very important. The reason why is because the world will tell us what we are. The world will tell us what we're supposed to do. But we serve a God that is supernatural. We serve a God that does not go by science. We serve a God that it doesn't matter who your mama and him is, who your daddy and him is. It does not matter what walk of life you come from. It just matters about the God that you serve. And that's one of the things that I really love about being a woman of God. I have children right now. I have adopted children. I have biological children. And I have God children. I have a whole bunch of them. And I tell them every day, it does not matter where you started from. All that matters is where you're going. And
Amen.
So I think that if we as women would understand, my husband is the man of God because I was in the closet praying. I was in there, God use him. He gets up very easy to pray in the morning. Why? Because I've toiled through the night. I've prayed. I've anointed his shoes. I've anointed his pillow. I have, you know, I've done my part as a woman of God. And I think it's time for us to stop acting like that we are hopeless and victims and all of this stuff.
On,
no, my life
real.
Is what I choose to make it. And if God is into creating, he can create every day into my life.
Girl, you done said that. Okay? Look, for real. And that's the thing. It frustrates me that as Christians, we have this pity party and we act like the victim and you're sitting there depressed and you're sitting there, you know what I'm saying? Like, we give the devil way too much credit, okay?
Right.
And we got to start walking in our authority, you know? And we all have been through, I'm sure, our personal trials, but at the end of the day, we would not be the women or the man that we are without that. That's what builds us. And so with your book, you know, Tears in the Chamber of Heaven, I want to get a little bit into that. First of all, let's talk about what was the purpose behind the book and how did you come up with such a beautiful title?
When I was reading in the Bible one day, and this is, I was very young. I was probably like around, I would say maybe about 16, something like that. And I was reading, I came across a scripture and it was Psalm 56:8. And I'm gonna read it in the message version because that's what's printed in my book. But it says, "You kept track of my every toss and turn through the sleepless nights. Each tear entered in your ledger, every ache written in your book." And the reason why that scripture stuck out to me is because God records every tear that we cry. He knows why. A lot of times we feel like our tears are in vain, or nobody knows what we're going through, or nobody understands. But if no man on this earth understands, God does. And
Amen.
So what happened was, it was like God showed me that there were bottles, that he was bottling up the tears of the saints, and that he was keeping an account to every single one of them. So that's where my title came from. These characters, this is a fictional book, but these characters are very much real. The circumstances and situations they go through are very much real. There are five different journeys. A lot of times we think we're living this thing and we're just making our own choices and being wherever. But we serve a very strategic God that even before we knew that he was there, he knew we were. And he already had a purpose that he already called us for in the beginning of time. Before there was even a world, there was a purpose. And so when I started writing this book, it was like these characters became real to me. It was like they had different circumstances and situations. And I'm telling you, when I tell you I've met the characters of these books, in the years that it took me to write this book, I have met them. I just got back from Philly and I was sitting in the hotel lobby and one of the ladies came up and she kept staring at me and I'm like, "Do you know me?" I mean, I asked her, like, is there anything I can do for you? Do you need me to, is there something I can do for you? And she said, "Are you the author of this book?" And she pulled my book out of her bag and she just started crying. And she said she was the first lady. And one of the characters in my book's name is Gwendolyn. And Gwendolyn is the one that gets saved. And she's the one that everybody loves to hate because she's the one that slept with everyone's husband. She's the one that's done everything underneath the sun. And God saves her and turns her life around. And this woman was called to be married to a pastor. And the church says, "I can't believe that this lady, she's not first lady material." So when I tell you this lady came and she shared with me her testimony, and she was like, "I'm Gwendolyn." She was like, I've ran from my past for so long. And I, in the book, I talk about how it's important to embrace, you know, to embrace. Not, we don't need to shut our closets like we don't have skeletons in our closets, but we need to let people know that you can overcome it. You can overcome adultery. You can overcome fornication. You can overcome these things. These are not things that the blood of Jesus did not cover. None of us are perfect. We all have our things. I will say since I was 4, but I've had my struggles. I've had my issues. I've had my things. There's nobody that's perfect except for Jesus. And so I think as a church, we present this that everybody has a together mentality, so that when I have a blemish on my skirt, everybody's looking at me crazy. The only difference is my blemish shows, yours doesn't. So we all have the same thing. And so when I tell you this woman was just, I was talking to her and she was just, and I said, God, if you could do this with a fictional book, can you imagine what he could do with stories and revelations that he's given?
For real. Yes. Real life testimonies. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's
and I've
beautiful.
Talked to several people that have inboxed me and talked to me and said, hey, this is my story. It was so much my story, I had to shut the book down. I had to put it on the table and walk away from it because it was so real.
Look at that. So basically, God put you in a position to where he said, I'm going to use you to heal others. You know, I'm showing you these stories. And then, and even though they're fictional characters, what God is putting in the book, you're still creating that healing because there's so many people that can identify with what's happening in a real life situation.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What it's doing is it's taking them to that one moment that they were in, that they've shunned away, that they said, I wouldn't live through. When I wrote this book, part of one of the characters, part of it is a part of my testimony. I lost my daughter. My husband and I got married. We were high school sweethearts. We just had the world. And that's still my boo. 17 years. Saturday, we'll celebrate 17 years. But
oh,
we
congratulations.
Still.
Congratulations. That's beautiful.
Yes. And I still love them. I still, you know what I'm saying? I'm still excited about them. And so part of the book is, see, you got me sidetracked. Love my boo. See what I'm saying? But part of the testimony was about a lady who loses her daughter, and I lost my daughter, and I went through the same testimony or the same thing that she went through in her life, and it was very much real. And I think that that's one of the problems. We think that just because we serve God that we don't go through anything, or there's no situations, or there's nothing.
Yeah,
but we go through things. Yes, we do. We go through things, but what we have to do is we got to live through them.
Mm.
You got to live through them. It's a choice. It's intentional.
Yeah.
And that's my next book. It's called Live. And it talks about how it's important to live through. You can't, and I have this hashtag that I preach a sermon, and it's been like my signature. And it's, I got up. I decided that I wasn't going to let the circumstance or situation overcome me, because I was going to show the people how great my God is.
Yeah.
They were going to see
that
you can live through. One of the worst things that people say that you can ever have to live through is to bury a child. I lived through that.
See what I'm saying?
So that tells you I'm not made to fall apart. I'm not China. You know what I'm saying? That tells you that I got some strength in me.
You got some endurance, okay? And that's
absolutely
tough. All right?
Absolutely.
And so what do you do? And now that's a great point that you mentioned in regards to, you know, any type of pain that you feel, especially as a mother, though.
Yes.
What do you say to those, and this is truly, I feel the Holy Spirit right now, for anyone who suffered a great loss, whether it's a family, a job, a home, you know what I'm saying, and they have given up on Christ. Because I have literally met people that are atheists, and they're like, you know what, ain't no God, because God wouldn't do this to me. You know what I'm saying? How, as Christians, women and men, can we let them know God is still on the throne and he still loves you? How can we, you know what I'm saying, turn that around?
Yes. I will tell you how I found it. I went through, and as you know, Faith was my goddaughter. And when I went through, she for those of the listeners that don't know, she was out on Halloween and ended up getting killed by a drunk driver. And
yeah, she was out with me that night. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know. And and that was one of the hardest things in my life that I had to go through too. Because when you have a God child, it's like a spiritual connection. It's a spiritual umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting there like, I just can't even believe this. Like, are you serious? Like, I'm going through this in different situations. But what I want to address is that was one of the worst pains for me that I went through. And I found a scripture. And the scripture was Psalm 61.
Yes.
No, but let me tell you, Psalm 61, and it talks about how David was talking about, he said, from the ends of the earth will I cry, And he said, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. But it talks about when your heart is overwhelmed. From the ends of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me. Lead me means I might not always get there, God, by myself. I might not always look around and call God the first. That might not be always my first choice. But if you lead me to a rock that is higher than I, it'll change my perspective on some things. It'll have me to, there are some things that we try to carry ourselves through that we need to be carried through. And that's what God was telling me. He said, he told me, he said, Trinity, you're so strong that I don't need to be God. Ooh, you're so strong that I don't need you. It's like you have, if you have it all figured out, why do I need to be God? You're your own God. You are your own God because you're figuring it out for you and everybody else. So what I need you to do is I need you to be weak. The Bible says in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. So in my weakness, when I was able to really say, hey, this is what I'm going through. This is a place, this is a pain I feel, and I'm angry about this. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. I don't get it. All of these things. And God was like, let me lead you to a rock that is higher than you, because there's nothing that happens that I don't already know in advance. Heavens is not, we went through something in our church, and one of Dr. Parsons from New Antioch, she made the statement, and she said, heaven is not surprised when you go through. See, we're the ones that finally get to the point where, okay, I need to prepare for this, or I need, God already knew the storm was coming way before it came. And so when I found that scripture, I found release in casting my cares on him and allowing him to carry me. Allowing my friends to comfort me. Sometimes you go through a place where you don't want people to speak life into you. You just want to just crawl up and just die and just do your own thing. But what I learned is that I don't have to live that way. I've learned that I can have relationships. I've learned that I can overcome. I've learned that I'm stronger than I thought I was. But in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect.
Look at that. Girl, listen, I'm sitting here ready to shout. Okay? Because you just spoke a revelation. Yes, yes, because I've been
so much. It's real. It's real because we're trying to just gloss things over. Things don't just get glossed over. Some things you just can't sweep underneath the rug. And my saying during that time was I was stunned, but I was not stopped. I was stunned. I had a momentary lapse of consciousness. Yes, I was like, God, I don't understand why I'm going through this. Yes, I made it about me. For those of y'all who don't, yes, we have the moments where you like, look. But then one day I had to look myself in the mirror and had to say, you know what? God gave you this earth. He gave you dominion over this earth. He gave you dominion over your life. You're either going to choose to live it or you're going to choose to just just sit down and die. But the real reality is that people felt how I felt. I don't know how to explain that. But once you're a leader, you have influence. So I noticed when I was sad, everybody around me was sad. When I decided and woke up and said, you know what, today is not the day. I'm not going to sit here and be sad no more. All of a sudden, everybody around me changed.
You see that? And it's so deep as women. That's so funny. I often think of the scripture how God teaches us the woman is the one that sanctifies the household. And
absolutely.
As a woman, you know, you and now let's talk about, and let me see how many minutes I got left. Okay, good. I got some time. Look, we got 12 minutes, girl. I'm trying to get it all in. Look, real quick, I want to welcome some of the listeners in the chat. D-Boo-1, welcome to Brown Sugar Radio. Guest 770771. All of you that are tuned in, Facebook and also Twitter. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio. At this time, we have our special guest, Minister Trinitia Marks, today. This is a powerful segment on Brown Sugar Radio today. Get your notebooks ready because she is truly speaking some knowledge today on behalf of the Word of God. And I think it's beautiful that you are not ashamed of the gospel. You are letting God do what he has to do, and I think that's beautiful. Now, as far as sanctification, this is often a struggle many women deal with in the household when there's chaos with either the children or in their marriages. Share with the Brown Sugar Radio listeners, what can we do as women to get our house in order? You know,
well,
to get that man saved or the kids. Come on.
The first thing we can realize, I go to New Beginnings Ministries. My pastor is Pastor Bobby Smith. And one thing that he taught me is that he taught me what holiness really is. Holiness is to be dedicated. You know, you are consecrated, you are dedicated to God, deeply devoted to him. When you come into your house, you still have to be deeply devoted to God. I can't just go to church and just live one way and then come home and live another way. But the thing is that I have to realize that my kids have choices. I remember My son, I'm still going through. He's going right now. He decided to run away last night. And you know what? I could be sitting here like, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. But you know what?
Okay.
But you know what? But let me tell you this. I know who I serve, and I know who has my son.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's it.
He has
That's
choices
it.
That he has to make. God already promised me who he is. I already know who he is. But I just have to stand on the word of God. But what I want to say this is, one time I went to the school, he was acting a fool, and I went to the school, and I was upset. I was like, I just can't believe this, and God, I didn't start just since I was 4, and I just said, I'm going through, like, for real, I'm going through, I don't understand this.
Girl, I didn't hear that, I feel you.
You know, I'm a minister in the church. I'm doing all these things, and God, my son out here acting a fool. And God, he said one simple thing to me, and it shut my mouth. Let me tell you what he told me. He said, are you upset because he sinned against me, or are you upset because you feel like he's a reflection of you? Which one is it?
Because
you upset because you're the perfect mama, right? You upset because everybody, all your little ducklings supposed to be in a row. And when one isn't like the other one, what you sitting up there getting upset about if I already told you who he was? If I already told you what he would be, why you upset?
God just shut that down, didn't he? He let us know.
Absolutely. First thing we have to realize in sanctification is the only thing we can do is sanctify ourselves. You got to set yourself aside for God. You got to say, if you're so devoted to God, then get up in the morning and pray. If you're so devoted with God and you want God to move on your husband, my husband is an amazing man of God. But I tell you what, my husband's always been an amazing husband. He's always been an amazing father, but he was not necessarily always moving in the man of God that God had called him to be. And I used to complain about it, and I used to do all that stuff. And one day I was in my prayer closet, and God told me, he said, quit complaining to me over something I've given you power over. And I remember going in and speaking into my husband's life that day. And I prayed for him, and my husband has not been the same since that day. He'll tell you, that day changed his life. But there were some series of things. There were some men that God had groomed around him in order to take him to that next place. It wasn't my place to do that. So a lot of times as women, we're trying to change these men and trying to make them into all of these things, and you need to do that. See, I was trying to make him go to church with me when God was trying to establish him in the house. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
I was running up
yeah.
into the church. I was doing all this stuff. God was establishing my husband in the house so that when he became the man of God, my husband is a minister right now. My husband is called to pastor. But what I'm saying is that as he had to go home and settle home before he could start operating anywhere else. But I was opposite. I was trying to get him to come to church with me because
right,
we were the
we ain't got no
family.
Faces. Look,
I'm trying to figure out why I'm saved and I'm the only one sitting here at the table by myself. It was me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was me trying to figure out God's plan. And
yeah,
so I just want to say to the women out there, want to say to the women out there that, you know, maybe your husbands are not actually, you know, working in the church or not doing anything, or maybe you go to church and he's at home. But what I want to tell you is your life, your legacy, what you do and your example actually pulls more on him than your words will ever do. My husband will tell you right now, because my wife prayed, my husband took over my prayer closet. I was like, wait a minute.
Girl, God took it to that level. Now y'all praying
him.
He like, listen.
He did.
I'm the head.
He took over my prayer closet, and that's his now. And I started to get a little stank attitude about it at first. Because I was like, that's my closet. What you mean you in there? But then I had to remember, you know what? I prayed him there.
Yeah. Girl, look, those who dwell in the secret place are the Most High. That's what I'm thinking
Absolutely.
Of right now. Let's get, girl, look. Oh, gosh, I got 6 minutes, Jesus. I'm trying to get it out. Okay, now as far as the prayer closet, that is so powerful. They have a movie actually coming out called The Prayer Room, and it's so powerful about a lady that's going through, like many of us can identify with, just in life with her husband, her kids, and so forth, and an elderly lady, which we know, she was saved. She teaches her the power of your prayer room, okay? And I'm not trying to get all off the subject. I definitely want to go back to the book, but you just are full of so much anointing and so much wisdom. I just feel that God is leading. That's why I was like, all right, Trinisha, now we're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Because you know how God, we thanking us about one thing, and the Lord be like, no, this is what my people need to hear. But as far as the power of you keep mentioning your prayer closet, and funny, I was just telling God the other day, I got to find somewhere to pray. I need somewhere where I can just solely focus on you, you know, and what do I need to put in this prayer closet? Like, you know, for someone that is getting together in a little prayer room.
And
yes,
my prayer closet is just a big old pillow that I get in and I'm there. It's not, it ain't fancy. I ain't got no candles. I don't have nothing like that. But what I do is in that place, the difference between, it doesn't always have to be a closet. I have a chair in my room that I sit in, but it's dedicated. Nobody sits in that chair. Nobody's allowed to sit in that chair. That's my chair. And when I sit in that chair, that is dedicated to God. But I just want to share just one brief secret in prayer. One of the problems is a lot of times we do a whole bunch of talking in prayer, but we don't do a lot of listening. And so one day God told me, he said, my people, he said, there's a lot of things. I said, God, why aren't you sharing things with the saints anymore? Why are you not sharing things? Because the Bible says that you don't do things without the prophet's knowledge. And you know what he told me? He said, my prophets are not listening. My people are not listening to me. And so what I do is I, at nighttime I pray, God, you know, I pray for my family. I pray for those things. But in the morning I dedicate that time to listening to God because I need to know what's going to happen through my day. There's some things that God needs to let me know about things and circumstances and situations for me to be the person, the woman of God that God has called me to be. And so I just want to encourage the saints today. If you don't get nothing else from this, if you get the book, great. If you don't, that's fine. But if you don't get nothing from this, listen to God. Take some time in the morning. Just take some time and just listen. And the Bible says, seek and he shall be found. It does not say seek and he's going to play hide and seek with you. We're not chasing after God. We're not chasing after God. God is chasing after us. He is there. He's waiting for us. He's drawing you. He's you know, he's waiting to speak to you. So I just want to encourage the readers today to in your prayer closet, do less talking and do more listening to God. What is God's voice sound like? A lot of times it's just a knowing in your spirit. Like you'll get something, it'll be dropped in. I happen to be blessed. I actually hear the audible voice of God. Most people, I don't know if that's something people do or not. I don't really care. And if it makes me sound crazy, I don't really care. It is what it is. I mean, God tells me this is what's going to happen. I'm just telling you, it's just real. You know what I'm saying? We live in a day and time where people don't believe God speaks, but he does. And I just think that we're so busy. We have this busy mentality of life that we don't listen to when God is really speaking.
And see, you know, that right there in itself is so deep. Because oftentimes we want to go to God with our problems, and not that you shouldn't, okay? Please, Brown Sugar Radio Law listeners, don't misconceive what I'm saying. What I'm trying to basically share is that you're right. We have to also take that time if we want to get an answer to a solution. We have to be able to, you know, my mother used to always say, you got two ears and one mouth, you know?
Right.
So we have to be able to take that time out to get the answers to our prayers. And then not only that, but you know, having that patience to wait on what God has for us, because a lot of times I know, especially with myself, Trenisha, I end up getting impatient with some things, and I'm like, you know what, God, I prayed about this. I've been praying for it. You know, you're going through some issues with your kids. Speaking of your kids, I would definitely keep your son in prayer. Girl, listen, I'm going to give you mad kudos for still coming onto the air. You could have canceled and been like, listen, Kim, I can't do this. My son ran away from home, and I got to shut this show down. You're like, girl, he's fine. God got him. That just goes to the power of your faith, though. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, it just seriously, at the end of the day, you know, we really just have to get to a point in our lives, you know, as women of God and men, of course, I don't want to exclude no one, but just getting to that point where we wait on God to answer it. Because what I found is when I've tried to answer stuff myself or when I've tried to fix it myself, girl, I end up 10 times worse. You know, and I'm like, for real? And God was like, well, you in my permissive will. You're not in my divine will. You doing what you want to do. You didn't wait on me. I had, you know, this over here for you that was 10 times better, but you want to sit over here, you know, on this level when I got you on the 10 and you still on level 1, you know?
Right.
And that's where I've been fighting with just waiting and having that patience for God to answer my prayers, you know, because when we're going through situations in life, one of the things that I want to say I truly appreciate with you is your realness. You know, you've never sugarcoated nothing ever since I've known you. We actually met through Faith's mom, and, you know,
yes.
We've hit it off. Yeah, we've been cool ever since, you know, and it was beautiful actually seeing you preach on Mother's Day and what that message was so powerful. Just how you were saying God will send people in your life, you know, and at the time you may not understand what's going on until later on, years down the line. and it was just beautiful. And I want to talk a little bit about just as far as, you know, you growing up.
Yes.
You know, and just what your experience, we have about 5 minutes remaining. I just want to, you know, get into when, you know, you were growing up and the challenges you had went through as far as, you know, okay, God, this is what I want from life, and you gave me this. You know, and just how you overcame that, because there's a lot of people that are dealing with that right now in their lives.
Yeah. Well, one thing that when I was growing up, I actually was not raised by my biological mother. I was raised by my mother, who was hand chosen to be my mother. But I was not raised, and I felt rejected for so many years. I did not know at the time until I was 12 that my biological mother was not my mother. But what happened, I went through, you know, I went through different things. The story came out, all of these things. But I always knew that I was different than everyone else. I knew that, you know, I came from a family. I had, like, my mother is white. And so I wasn't dark enough to be with the black kids, and I wasn't white enough to be with the white kids. So I developed my own personality. That's basically where my personality came from. Because I was like, hey, you want to play with me? I don't want to play with you either. Okay. So it's just, yeah. You know, what was designed to reject, for rejection only made me stronger. What was designed to make me insecure actually made me more secure in myself. But what I wanted to share with the readers, I mean, with people, is just this. It's just that you may have felt like you were rejected, but what God let me know is that that's a title I took on after I was already born. But because I was already formed in God's mind way before any of this ever happened, when he spoke my name and said, you will be born and you will, you know, you will impact, you will make an impact in this generation. When he spoke my name, I wasn't rejected. I was already loved. I was accepted in the beloved that moment. And so what happens is society teaches on us to take on these different names. But my name was already in Christ way before I was even born, because it was already settled when my life was going to line up with what God had already spoken over my life, if that makes sense. So what I want to encourage people is this, is you may come from, when I stood before my biological mother before she passed away, she said, if I could have had an abortion, I would have. If I could have, that's what I would have done, because that's what she chose. But you know what? I chose to forgive her.
Yeah.
I chose to tell her, hey, thank you for not aborting me. You had the right to choose. It's your body.
Amen.
You had the right to choose, but you still gave me life, and for that I am grateful. But
Amen.
my mother that adopted me, Patricia, my mom is, you know, she exactly what I needed when I needed it. You know, we are so much alike. We are, I'm telling you, when I tell you that looking at her and talking to her is like talking to me, we both crazy. That's just what it is. But what I'm telling you is, what God told me is that that what I was blaming the devil for, it was something he did. See, I thought for years the devil had stole my mother from me. I thought for years that I was not loved. But what God said, I hand-selected a lady named Patricia Walker. I put her in your life. I even shut up her womb to where she couldn't have children so that she would love you and value you and take you in, and you would be the best thing for her. And see, where I thought that God had left me alone, God had really strategically planned what he was doing in my life. And so that's the part I just want to encourage people today, that God knows what he's doing, and you just fall in line with what he has for you. And when you do that, that's when the power comes, when you embrace who God has made you to be. That's where the power comes.
My Lord, okay. Girl, look, you have said some powerful, planted some seeds today, okay? And like
amen.
I said, it's just beautiful. Yes, amen. I'm just so glad God was able to use you today. We are actually running out of time. What I want to do is definitely show you some love and support you. All the Brown Sugar Radio Loyal listeners, please take the opportunity to purchase her book, you know, because I know you will get something out of it, just like you did on this show today. Trenisha, what I'd love for you to do is share with them how they can order it and how they can support you on any social media networks you may have.
Okay. You can go to my Facebook. There is a link there, but if not, you can go to createspace.com. My Facebook is Trenisha Marks, Facebook. And then Tears in the Chambers of Heaven is the title of my book, and you can get it from createspace.com. It's also available for Kindle download. I will be running a promotional, if you check my Facebook page, this weekend. And for, I think it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you will get $1.99 download instead of having. But the book is $15, but the Kindle download is $7.99. But this weekend, you will get it for $1.99. But check my Facebook page, and I'll give it to you so you can have it on the link.
Amen, amen. Now, we do have a couple of calls. I'm going to see if I can grab one real quick before she goes. If you have a question, please just make it brief. If you have a question or a comment, because we do have to leave in about probably about two more minutes, okay? Let's see here. We got a 702. You're on the air live with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, this is Arnez, and I was just listening. Hi, and Arena and Marcelina. We all are here together listening to.
Hey.
All right, y'all showing y'all love.
Hey, Elder. Hey, Kim.
All right, did y'all have a question or comment?
Hey, Elder, I didn't get a chance to buy your book yet, but I'm definitely going to do that. But what you said today about when God was calling you when you were four, how you got saved when you were four, you kind of kind of remind me of my daughter Nyla, because I want to cry right now. You know me, I'm teary. I'm gonna cry, but my baby Nyla, she loves God. And she's six, she's gonna be 7 September, and this girl, she just goes around the house, and she just prays God, and she just be like, she's so loving, and she's just zealous for her age. And I hope, I pray to God that she keeps that fire in her, and that zealousness in her, because I want her to be a mighty woman of God, because I know I'm not always the greatest example, and I'm going through some things myself, but I'm trying to come back, God knows I'm coming around, you know, but... No, you are like some. I love you so much. I admire you from a distance, you know. And I struggle with going through some things as far as like my flaws, like you said. And we think we're supposed to be so perfect. I'm the type of person that when I fall, I try to go back into the background because I know I'm a leader and I cannot lead with all these flaws on me. And that's just something that I noticed that about myself, that the enemy tries to condemn me with. So I tend to fall a lot and then try to get back up and then try to go straight on like a bull head forward and then end up falling back again. But I have to learn how to just know that it's okay if I make mistakes and just come back around again, you know, because I do know with children, you have to be an example, you know. But I just love how you keep it so real and say how, you know, how you weren't always perfect. And it makes me feel like I could come back around again. It's okay if I make a mistake. Just get back up, you know.
Yes.
And then it helps.
Amen.
To run.
Yes. Amen.
The word with the word. Said adjustment falls 7 times. So I have to just get back up, just keep getting back up and keep on striving for his purpose in my life.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Yes.
But I wanted to share something as the radio host, Ms. Kim and Elder Marks. I've only met you one time, Elder Marks, and this is Arena's mother. And I wanted to say this, is that you said something about that prayer closet. And me and Kim, we may not go back as far as you knowing her with Raquel. I knew Raquel also. And God bless her soul. We pray for her. And me and Kim has been talking and discussing about that prayer closet. And I've been sharing with her how God has been leading me to go into my prayer closet. Like once before, I used to be in my prayer closet. I set a time in the morning and a time at night. Because in the Word of God, he said we must continue to pray day and night. And what people are failing to understand is prayer is the answer. Prayer is the key to all things. Much when you just cut me completely.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen. Yeah, no, we hear you. Yeah.
Everything that we do, we must pray.
Amen.
And God will lead us, guide us through prayer. So what I want to say is this. I thank God for you because my daughters had told me you wrote a book. And I told them, I said, we're going to get this book and we're going to read this book. And they've also shared some things with me about the book. But I said, I want to hear it for myself. But I'm going to close at this. And I'm going to let Marcelina say what she has to say. I thank God for everything that you have said today, because I know it is an anointed and appointed time for everything. And I thank God for this appointed time with you. And I praise God that God keep you, bless you continuously in your family. And I continue to pray for you as you pray for me. And I pray for your son, because I've had the same situation with my own daughter, Arena. Okay? So I know that.
Amen.
I know. And I know, because I had girls. I had four girls, but I know. But I never had a son, but I know. I have seven grandsons, but I know how the kids can be at that age. And I put it in God's hands. And like you said,
absolutely,
God's going to bring your son back home because he's a prodigal son. But guess what? When he come back, we all going to rejoice in heaven, and we all going to rejoice here on earth. So I just thank God for you to worry about it. You know, we ain't supposed to worry. We put it in God's hand, and we let God deal with it. And he's going to deal with it. Okay? And we believe in it, and we continue on. But right now, I'm going to get off this phone because I know Kim only got a few more minutes on this radio. But I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Listen, I thank God for both of you because I thank God for Kim because are really good friends. I thank God for you, Elder Mark, even though I only met you once, but I've heard so much about you. I want you to know that. So much about you.
Yeah. Okay.
And then for me to find out that you and Kim been knowing each other for years, I said, Lord,
right,
this is a family affair. You know what I mean? Already things already in the midst of us, praying for us, already, you know, on the same course that we're going on. And God have a reason for that book. You know what I mean? And I know that when I get that book, it's going to inspire me, it's going to encourage me, and it's going to lead me to believe even more in depth in what God wants me to see in the supernatural. I know. Thank God. I know.
Yes,
so we're going to get that book. But I thank God for you, and I'm going to head off this phone. So, Kim, I will talk to you later about all of this.
Okay? All right.
All right. I'll talk to you, ladies. Bless you. All right. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. So, there you go. So, we definitely, you know, just want to let you know we do appreciate you. You know, there's some more callers holding. I really can't take any more calls because the show's going to actually cut off in the next few minutes if we continue. And I don't want y'all to miss nothing good. So what we have to do is schedule a part two for you to come back maybe in a month or two. If you're interested in that, we'd love to have you back on Brown Sugar Radio. Okay? All right. Well, you have blessed my soul and my listener's soul today. And I just want to let you know, continue doing what you do because, you know, it's so many people that have lost hope. And you have given them that hope back. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. All right. Well, definitely, like I said, you're welcome back at any time. And we appreciate you coming on to Brown Sugar Radio today. All right, great. So there you go, Brown Sugar Radio listeners. You heard it here first. So make sure you get your copy of Tears in the Chambers of Heaven with Minister Trenisha Marks, doing some wonderful things here in the Las Vegas Valley. And I'm sure eventually it'll be worldwide. God's got some great things in store for her and her family. And we're going to continue to keep her son uplifted in prayer. I think that was beautiful. She still came on to the show in the midst of what's going on in her personal life. And so that's how you know that she's got the faith of the size of a mustard seed. All right. Well, definitely I got to say thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment is extraordinary. Make it a blessed day.